You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Our hearts are restless, Lord, till they find their rest in you. Meet us in this space now as we look at your word. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
What is your only comfort in life and in death? What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins by his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. This is the beginning of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1 and 2. What is your only comfort in life and in death? It gets deep real fast. It gets real. It keeps it 100, as they say. This is the full matter, that whether we came into this building this morning expecting something to touch our hearts, whether we came in here just out of perfunctory duty, the scripture from John 14 we have, Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Believe, know, see, bear witness. It's an invitation to experience Christ's ministry. Here he is with his disciples in his final hours, and it's in the midst of discomfort that he's speaking this. They're swirling around them in the shadow of trouble and betrayal and abandonment. Jesus and his disciples will be stabbed in the back by Judas. They will be betrayed. Peter will fail his Lord after swearing up and down, "Oh, not me, I would never forsake you." The second a middle school girl questions him, he runs. The disciples are having this anxiety experience. They've been with Jesus. He's promised the coming of his kingdom. He's folded them into his mission. And now he says, "I'm going to go away to my Father." And it creates anxiety for them. He's speaking into that space, that liminal space of anxiety, where we once were comforted, where we once had what we depended on. And now what? What's going to happen? Think of a child, a toddler, or a baby being dropped off at the nursery or taken to the preschool. And you know that feeling as they turn looking for mom and dad. Where is their caregiver? They're in a strange place among people they don't know. What they found comforting is no longer there. Perhaps you've had this experience in your own life where you didn't realize something was so comforting to you till you lost it. Many of us maybe even experience that on a daily basis. Where did I put my phone? Where's my phone? I can't read the text. I got to get in touch with the doctor. I got to do, and you can't find the phone. This week, my wife couldn't find her wedding ring, and she kept puzzling. I can't find it. She looked in all the regular places, and like really good parents, we bribed our children. You will get $40 if you find mom's wedding ring and engagement band. And that we know what motivates the human heart. And so fortunately, thank God she found them. It was, yeah, much rejoicing in the presence of angels. Thomas is speaking here. We don't know how. Show us the way. Philip saying, show us the Father. We just want to see the Father. Beth and I had a counselor that we would meet with periodically just for our own benefit, and he moved away to the West Coast, and so in order to continue seeing him, we'd see him online occasionally and touch base and have some sessions, and sometimes, as you know, when the Zoom kind of freezes or buffers or goes out, and you're like, are you there? Can you hear me? We'd do that. Brad, our counselor, would from time to time jokingly go, "And you'll be saved," when he knew we were back online. "And you'll be saved," that word, you know, those words of, oh, wait, we missed it. What did he say? You know, what will save us? What will make everything okay? The disciples are just like us. We want to know, okay, what's the, I got my notepad. I'm ready, Jesus. Tell me. Okay, believe in God, believe also in me. Okay. What's the second step? What do I do next? We tend to think of life as a jigsaw puzzle. If I can grab the pieces and kind of form them together, you know, jam them in just right, I'll get a picture that forms for me. Or it's like Wordle. Can I just get the words across? Okay, I scored some points. I feel good about myself. I can go about my day. I've been productive. Technical solutions work for technical problems. Change the light bulb, voila, there's light. Right? Put gas in the car, blammo, you can go off to your appointment. Child forgot the cleats back at home, you call the other parent and you say, can you bring these and meet me at the ball field? Solution. However, much of life, as you know, it is a slalom course through the intractable, less technical troubles. Things like relational discord, persistent habits that seem to always thwart you just when you think you're going to find satisfaction or happiness. Mounting futility in your work, struggles with a child who's wayward, the ache of loneliness and dissatisfaction, or the crushing weight and burden of grief pressing on your chest. There's a reason that the self-help or wellness industry is just in billions and billions of dollars in our economy. Because we all want answers, we all want helps, we all want to find solutions, we all want to increase and get better. We all want comfort, after all. But these things band-aid the issues that with technical solutions, not fully addressing the heart-level longing that's beneath the surface in our ever-disappearing horizon of enough or satisfaction. We're on from one thing to the next. Have you ever returned from vacation going, I'm not refreshed at all, and I'm back in the rat race again? Or have you ever built up your bank account working towards some goal only to have the AC go out, or the car needs new tires, or your child needs braces, and you feel like you've rolled down the hill and you're starting over in the valley again? Or you just have a free weekend and then suddenly your time gets eaten up with things you would have rather not spent it on. The deck of life, friends, is constantly shifting. And so life is just momentary synchronicity. If I can just synchronize it and get it balanced here, or maybe shift a little, and it's momentary because another wave is coming to hit the boat and it's going to teeter. Another announcement, more news, more information, another experience. And Jesus is calling you and me and his disciples here, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. There is a promised, assured space for you. Your name is over a door, and that is your place, and you belong in your Father's house. Jesus is saying here when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's not only answering the questions and queries of his disciples, he's speaking a great truth to you and to me. Whether you're coming in here rock solid in your faith and just needing to be re-energized, or if you're coming in and you're standing at a distance and going, I've got real questions and reservations. Jesus is saying, believe in God. Believe also in me. Martin Luther has a great line. He has a lot of great lines. But he says, forget all speculation about God. Hold on to the man, Jesus Christ. He is the only God we've got. No matter what you've been told, no matter what you read, no matter the ways you've maybe patterned to think about who God is, how God is, hold on to the man, Jesus Christ. That's what his disciples were so longing to have in their presence. A Jesus who's speaking to them with wine on his breath, maybe some crumbs in his beard, facing a grueling night of agony as they go out to the darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane. His words here have gravitas. It's not a platitude. It's not a bumper sticker. It's not meant to browbeat people. It's meant to be an invitation, an offering. It's meant to meet people in their very real felt place as they're stumbling about, wondering, what is next? Do I belong? Do I matter? Is there hope? Will I find any comfort? Believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way and the truth and the life. We're all asking questions. Maybe you're asking today, am I in the right career or job? How could I do right by my kids? Or maybe you're longing to have children. Maybe you're asking, will I ever find true love? Or am I doing the right thing? Or will this sense of loneliness or depression never go away? Can God heal my loved one? Will everything be okay? I have an illusion that if only my circumstances change, if only I get an answer to that one prayer, then that's all I really want. But the trouble for us is that it's deeper and more fundamental than we realize. That the antidote to our troubles is actually that we face an opportunity to trust the living God. And that's a scary proposition. There's a great movie that I love very much, but it's really hard to watch. But it's called Calvary. It's got Brendan Gleeson starring as an Irish priest. And it is a harrowing and very informative movie about a week in the life of an Irish priest's life. See, he knows that somebody is actually trying to do something very terrible to him. And he has to go through his week anticipating the very worst, but also attending to the very real needs of people in his town. And things get worse and worse for him as he's cussed at, verbally denigrated. His church is burned down. Somebody kills his dog. I mean, it is a country song to the extreme. It's unrelenting and providing tension. And yet, it explains to me, how is it that we can live with two seemingly diametrically opposing realities? One is that there is an inevitable death that is awaiting for me, no matter how little or how much regret I carry. That's something I cannot change. But also, my life is full of choices to trust in a bigger story. And he has a line in this movie where he says, "The limits of God's mercy have not yet been set." The limits of his mercy haven't been set. Just when I wonder, have I blown it again? Have I overspent my hand? Have I wanted too much and desired too much? Have I made too many bargains with God? I'm reminded through the life of this priest who has to face very real hard challenges with real actual people who are messy, who are complicated, who are two-hearted. In the midst of trouble, a resolve to find comfort not in circumstance, but in his Savior. And that's why at the Advent, when we preach, we speak of a theology not of glory, not of an upward, up and to the right, you know, escalator ride of here's the points that will make your life better, but the theology of the cross that points to this way, truth, and life that runs right through Golgotha, right through Calvary. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he will surrender his life in order that you and I might have it, that we might share in it, that he might reconcile us to the Father. So when Philip says, "Show us the Father," Jesus is essentially saying, "You've seen him all along. He's been with you all along. This is the one serving wine and bread to friends. This is the one who is conked out in sleepy exhaustion in the boat during the storm. This is the one God who is weeping over the lost sheep of Jerusalem. The God who's welcoming prostitutes and tax collectors and the demon-possessed into the kingdom of God. It's God who is teaching and talking and healing, showing up at dinner parties. And in mere hours, it is God who would be pinned to slabs of wood with spikes driven through his wrists and ankles. I mean, where's the glory in that? Where's the riz? Where's the sizzle? Where's the glory? Jesus claims to the disciples and to you and me that we've seen the Father when we've witnessed Christ. Jesus is the Holy One of Israel who created the cosmos, revealing his true nature, that God has entered into our plight, that he identifies with sinners and sufferers like you and me. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we can believe and know and see him at work when we turn to him. Look to him. I might be looking to numb myself with binging more shows or finding it at the bottom of a bottle or with more likes on an Instagram post or career success or getting more accolades, or if the right person can just notice me, then I'll have what I want. But the unfathomable promise from the heart of the living God is in verse 3, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We might have all kinds of speculation and thought about heaven and about what that means. And yet Jesus is saying here, heaven is where I am, with me, in my presence. That's why he can turn to the thief on the other cross later in his ministry and say, today you'll be with me in paradise. You'll be with me. From his coming to his dying to his rising from the dead to his ministry with his disciples to his ascension to the right hand of the Father and his promised return, this is the continued message of good news that we proclaim in the Church of Jesus Christ as the future has moved into the presence. That's why you have his life, his way, his truth. Forget all speculation about God. Hold on to the man, Jesus Christ. It's the only God we've got. It's the only God we've got. He asks for our allegiance and trust. Whether you're trapped in despair or pain today, whether you feel apathetic and just going through the motions, or whether you're wondering if there's more to life than just surviving to the next day, or you're struggling mightily to believe that this story could possibly even be true for you. No, this is the invitation. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let me pray. Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. We pray, Lord, that as all our comforts fail us, that we would flee to you, that we would find real comfort in the life, death, resurrection, and promise of Jesus Christ. Be near to us, Lord. Help us to walk in that way, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.